Revelation here in chapter 16. So we're going to take some verses quite fast here to move right along here. Revelation here in chapter 16. And Revelation 16. And we'll get here in verse 12, okay? We read this here previously. But we'll come right on down here. And let's see here, beginning verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. The water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. We'll not go back to Revelation chapter 9, but there's a 200 million man army comes from the kings of the east. That is India, Japan, China, so forth, and other countries in that area there. Those countries will come together at the Battle of Armageddon, along with the rest of the nations. So let's just give these three major countries that are going to come. Now he goes on down, for they are the spirits of devils, in verse 14, working miracles which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world, and gather them together to the battle of the great day of God Almighty, in verse 16. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. So, thing that you want to remember, the nations here includes America. We have practically sold out to God anyway, truthfully. Get him out of here, get him out of there, everywhere. Can't do it in schools. You're God to our president and God to the leaders, a lot of leaders, with the very few exceptions, are just the fact that this God and all religions, especially you fundamentalists, all you want to do is argue. You think you're the only ones that are right. And you're causing a lot of this unrest in this country here of America. And really, you should want to get along. We've got an ecumenical movement going here. You're just too much centered on the Bible. Don't you love people? Can't you get along with your neighbor? Can't you get along with another religion? You don't have to talk about what the Bible says all the time. Let's just get along here. We need peace. You see, well, that's the Christians are blamed for it. You can write that down and so forth. Now let's go in our Bible over to the book of Joel. But I would notice here and underline this in my Bible. They're going forth into the kings of the earth, as the rulers of the earth, of the nations, and of the whole world, to gather them to battle. That includes the United States of America. America has already got its death sentence on it. It is there. I'm in a job that says, I'm going to, from Iran, says I'm going to wipe Israel off of the map. He signed his death warrant. This guy, you're going to wipe God's people off. You're going to do that? God said all these things are going to happen in Mark. He said that, 13th chapter. He said, and this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Well, he's given all the signs. Like, you know, the world's going to be turned into a Sodom and Gomorrah. Same-sex marriages and that and so forth, you're going to marry and be married and all those kind of things. No thought of God or Jesus Christ or anything like that. And the word generation, when you look it up in the Greek, is literally means this nation of people will not pass away until Christ comes back at the kingdom and sets it up to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and every Jew that trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior their land in the millennial reign of Christ. So when you see generation, it's not just for a period of time. That word in the Greek means the nation of Israel, the nation of people here of Israel, will not pass away till all of these things be fulfilled. So, I'm out of a job. You're going to say that you're going to destroy Israel? Sir, the one that's going to be destroyed is you. You got the death sentence on you, sir. You point a finger at God's chosen people and you're going to come back with a stub, if you even have the stub left. Because you're going to say that you're going to overrule God. You're the biggest fool that ever lived. You're nothing but Satan, practically, you say. All right, let's go back in our Bibles to the little book of Joel, okay? We'll go here, and then we're going to move on here. Okay, here we go. Okay. I've got it here. Joel, where's Joel at? You should be back here. Here we go. Joel's before Amos. Okay, here we go. Come back to the little book of Joel here. He has some things to say about that, all right? Notice here, if you will, in chapter 3, and notice here in verse 2. I will gather all nations when you have, remember this, remember we went over this? When it's in the plural, who's it speaking of?
Gentiles.
The Gentiles. When it's in the singular, it's speaking of who?
Israel.
And you can just mark that in your Bible when you read it. So the nations are the Gentiles. I'm going to bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. I will gather all nations. Does that include America? I don't see anything that says except the United States of America. America has a death sentence on it. We're just surviving till the Lord Jesus Christ comes at the rapture and every Christian is taken away. He descends from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and so forth. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. That's the bodies. We're going to be caught up together in the clouds there. So, those Christians are your relatives that have went on are coming back. And then that resurrected body, they're going to unite with that, and we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and go up together. So if you've got some relatives or mother and dad, now I'm going to be glad to see my mother and dad. Hope she doesn't come up and over in China somewhere. You know, I can't get over that far, but I'm going to meet them in the clouds. I'm going to meet them, and we're going together to spend eternity up there in the glories of heaven. What a wonderful thing that'll be. So when we lose a loved one, it's just temporary. That's all it is. It's just goodbye for a time, but it's just temporary. What a thrill. But all nations, and I would reference that back over there, Revelation chapter 16, is the Gentiles. You come down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And then it's sort of interesting here, as we find, I'd like for you to begin and turn right in Joel chapter 3, and we're going over here to verse 9. All right, and this is sort of interesting here. Okay, God invites them to come down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat for war. All right, you want to get rid of me, now the battle's on. I want you to come down here because I'm not going to leave you alone. I've got the 144,000 Jewish witnesses, and they're everywhere. I've got the two witnesses that are going to... And they did witness here until they were taken up in the middle of the tribulation. I've got 144,000 Jews down here. They're everywhere, traveling everywhere. And you're going to try to kill them? You can't kill them because I gave them the power to kill you if you tried to kill them. So you're not going to kill them. They have the protection of God upon them. But I'd like for you to notice here, God invites them. He says, you know, you get your plowshares and your farm instruments, and I want you to beat them into swords. And come on down here and fight me in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. I want you to do that. Okay? So, notice in verse 9, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near and let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning forks into spears and let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come up, all you heathen, gather yourselves round about, together about. Thither, and calls the mighty ones to come on down, O Lord. In other words, get all your mighty men and come. Come down the Valley of Jehoshaphat. I'm going to be waiting on you down there. You see, come, bring all of your instruments and so forth, you bunch of fools. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all of the heathen round about. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come. Get you down, for the press is full, and the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. He says, you bunch, I'll get you all in one spot and kill you all. You're going to be killed. Instantaneously. Multitudes in the valley of decision. Multitudes means not only of the kings of the east of Revelation chapter 16, China. He put a 200 million man army on just out of China and those armies there. Japan. And also India. And besides those, multitudes in the Valley of Decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the Valley of Decision. And then the sun and the moon shall be darkened, the stars with the drawers shining, and so forth. And the Lord shall also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. There will be Jews when a covenant is broke in the middle of the tribulation period there. There will be Jews that trust Jesus Christ as their Savior by the witnessing of the 144,000. There might be a lot of Jews that do that. They've been deceived, 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 and deceived. And these 144,000 are going to tell them, you only got 3.5 years to go and the Messiah will be back on this earth to set the kingdom up. Trust Christ. Now, the Antichrist will kill many, many of those Jews that he gets to. He will kill them. And they will have a resurrection there to go into the millennial reign of Christ. But there'll be a lot of them Jews that do flee and so forth. In fact, we put a lot of things in there in the book here, and it should be coming out. She said somewhere around the 6th of this next week or the following week. So about a week and a half, we should get our book back. But anyway, she said, this is a big book. She said, I don't think they've had a book that large with 338 pages for an 8.5 by 11. That's a lot of writing, a lot of information and so forth. And to put that together, I don't think they've had an order that thick a book, that many pages for an 8.5 by 11. I don't think they have. The way she talked, she said, this is a big book, she said. But anyway, I said, well, I'm calling sort of excited, you know, and I blamed it on you folks because I said, you know, we got people just bothering me every day, you know. And, oh, Lord, forgive me for that. But I'm just joking. But anyway, they're going to come down here. The Lord's coming back. And another interesting thing, the contrast to that, the opposite in the kingdom, just hold your place and you can put a reference here, because in the kingdom it's going to be just the opposite. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 2, will you please? Isaiah chapter 2. And you notice in the kingdom it's going to be just the opposite. Isaiah has a lot to say about the kingdom reign of Christ, 1,000 years, the tribulation period, and what's going to take place during the kingdom reign. In chapter 2, look in verse 4. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. Well, when they come down to fight God and destroy him, they beat their plowshares and their pruning forks into swords and offensive weapons. But during the kingdom, you see, they shall beat their swords and plowshares and their spears into pruning forks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Go with me to the 11th chapter. Now in the 11th chapter, I wanted to use this verse because I wanted to just bring out one point here about when God speaks and so forth, all right? We come here and notice in verse 4 of the 11th chapter here, but with righteousness, talks about Christ, he will judge the poor, reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. All he has to do, when we go on here and see, we're going to find out all God has to do is speak it. He'll give the power to the angels to do this. If you've got the power over fire, you know, use it to destroy whatever you want, but I want destroyed. So when it talks, there's a sword coming out of the mouth, is like it does in Hebrews chapter 4. It says the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's just the fact when God speaks it, It cuts anything and everything, and he uses the sword as an object lesson. It's sharper than any two-edged sword there is. When he speaks it, it is done. It is accomplished. He can kill you in a second. All he has to do is just flink. That's it, and we're off into eternity. Revelation 1:18, I'm he that liveth. I was dead. I'm alive forevermore. And I've got the keys of hell, that's the location, and of death. That's how fast you get there, you see. Or how fast you get to heaven. So it's a dangerous thing to fight against the Lord because you're never going to win. God's grace may allow you to get away with things and so forth, even his children. But when he gets fed up with it, Hebrews tells us, every son whom he receiveth, he correcteth. But you're still a son. Never lose your salvation. And every son whom he receiveth, he correcteth and so forth because he loves us. And he knows if he doesn't interfere in some time in our lives, if we're going the wrong direction, we're just going to destroy ourselves. So he has to interfere sometimes in order to get us back on the track we should be going and to put him first. And therefore, so he can bless us, which he wants to do, all we have to do is give him a reason. You say, isn't it amazing everything the Lord has done for us. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of above. Every blessing that you have comes from Him. It's ordained of Him. It's manufactured by Him. It is given by Him. And it's amazing how sometimes those things, we just get so busy, we just don't get thinking about things like that. But Rich said, I forget what we were just talking here, and he said something about, what was it, Rich, we said? And you said, well, we're just a heart beater, he can do something, you said something like that. Do you remember that?
He gave us another day.
He gave us another day, okay, and like that. And but he said something complimentary of his wife, too, but I can't remember exactly what that was. Oh, I know, I said, boy, you look sharp this morning. I said, you're a very handsome man. He said, my wife told me that too. Okay, so that's good. You should both go out happy this morning. Okay, so much for that. We must move on. Here we go. The word plead here in verse 2. We go back here. The word plead here. I will gather all nations there and so forth, and they parted my land. If I've got the right one here. He will plead with them in verse 2. We look that word up, and it is shephet, and it's a prime word, and it doesn't mean, I think we brought this up before, it doesn't mean I'm going to, hey, don't do that. No, you shouldn't go against my people, and that doesn't mean that. Not as the English we have it. The prime is the prime word, and it means to, if you look it up in the Hebrew here, it means to avenge, condemn, and execute judgment. You pronounce judgment against their judgment down in the valley of Jehoshaphat. All of you wicked people that don't want God in my creation. I created you. This is my creation. And you're trying to keep people of my creation from coming to me. You're trying to embarrass me, saying I'm not a creator. You're trying to say that, you know, we evolve from slip from slime or come from scum or... What do we say? Once I was a tadpole, when I began to begin, I became a frog with a tail tucked in. Now I'm a monkey on a coconut tree. Then I am a professor with a PhD. Well, so much for that. But God gets a little sick of that, doesn't he? Yes, I think he does. Now you're coming down the valley of Jehoshaphat, I'll kill you all in one blow. All I have to do is speak it, and you're done. I am so glad I'm on the Lord's side. Because if I was lost and God said, depart from me, you're cursed into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. On my way there, which would only take me a second to get there, I would probably be saying, no, 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 I don't want to go. What do I have to do? Too late, son. All you'd had to do when you was on earth and when you were alive was believe that I died for you and I paid for your sins. It's too late now. You live with that decision. You're in hell for all eternity, sir. You were a fool to believe some of these atheists that hate me and these science teachers that try to convince you that you evolved. And you believed them when I said in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. There's nothing exists that God didn't create. But you wouldn't believe my word. And I wrote the Bible so I didn't have to come down to your bedside to everybody that has a little question and sit there and send one of my angels down there and answer your questions for you. I put it in the Bible so it has all the answers for your questions, sir. But you believed your boss, you believed your school teacher teaching your children, and you didn't step in, you didn't question it, you didn't go to a good church where the preacher could have given you some information that could have got you on the right track and led you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to one of these phony churches that said your baptism savior, or the dumb preacher said, I'll forgive your sins, but he can't even forgive his own. You get into all that kind of phony baloney stuff that the Lutherans do, and the Catholics do. Jehovah's Witnesses say you're dead, and when you die, you go to the grave and you sleep. Really? Well, James, second chapter, I believe it's the last verse, said the body without the spirit is dead. So, the body without the spirit is the seat of your intelligence. And then when you go to Revelation, you go there and you find out, chapter 6, that John was in heaven. He saw the souls of them that were in heaven after they got killed for their testimony on earth and said, they cried out. Their body's still down on earth somewhere, dead. But they talked, they cried out, they had intelligence, they could reason. How long will it be, O Lord, before you avenge our blood on them down there on the earth? Very much alive. Jehovah's Witnesses, you're a cult religion part, period. You don't believe that Jesus Christ died and paid for you? And by the way, I'm going to throw one thing out and I'm going on. We have a Mormon running for president. And if you didn't know this, I'm going to tell you this, just briefly. The Mormons believe that God is one of the gods in heaven. And that God came down to earth and became a man, just like you and I. And then, proving himself, he became one of the gods in heaven and so forth. And Adam and Eve, when creation was, this God created Adam and Eve, and therefore Adam and Eve had children. And they did that because up in heaven, us gods, we created all these spirit beings, and we've got to have bodies for them. That's where you got polygamy going into the Mormon church. This is what they believe. So therefore, the more bodies we can produce, it doesn't matter with whose women or anything else. Just produce the bodies so that these spirits can come down and live on the earth like you are. This is just a basic thing in Mormonism. God was once just like you, but now he is one of the gods in heaven. That's the basic teaching of Christ with Mormons. Did you know that? How many of you didn't know that? I see you didn't know for sure. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I told you that. That's what we got. Now, I'm not saying that interferes with man being the presidency of the United States. I'd rather see a Christian, but maybe he can rule and pull us out of this, but I doubt very much. I doubt if anybody can, but so much for that. Okay, how are we doing? I've got 2.5 minutes. Okay, I think we can go. Judge in verse 12. Notice what he says here in verse 12, in Joel here in chapter 3 and verse 12. Okay? Let the heathen and be waiting come up the valley of Jehoshaphat, and there we will. I will set to judge. That is the same word as translated plead in verse 2. Shephat. S-H-E-P-H-A-T. Same word. In other words, judgment has already been determined. Execution and victory is forthcoming. Now, let's go here. Revelation chapter 14. Go back here real fast. Okay? Revelation chapter 14. And we're going to find out this back here in Revelation 14, this valley is about 160 or a little bit more long. Something. Okay, Revelation chapter 14. And let's look here in verse 14, okay? 5 furlongs make a Sabbath day's journey. 10 furlongs is a mile. 1,600 furlongs is 160 miles or a little bit longer. So let's begin in verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and upon the cloud, one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat upon the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat upon the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Okay. Another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle, and another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, and gather her grapes are fully ripe. When it talks about the sickle having a sharp sickle, it is illustrating how fast and instantaneous death is. You take a sickle, you can just about chop anything off with it, including your head if you want to do that. But it's used it as an illustration that death is instantaneous. That's what it is. So, everybody knows what a sickle is. And remember what we read on back there in Isaiah chapter 11? The word of his mouth, that is a destroyer. All God has to do is speak it. So he tells the angels, put in your sickle. Whoom! I don't know how many deal on that one killed. But here, within just seconds, everybody is dead. Now I'll point out something if you can. We come on down, and we find in verse 19, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, cast it into the great wine press of the wrath of God, and the wine press, that is all of these bodies laying around, and so forth. The wine press was trodden without the city, outside of Jerusalem, and blood came out of the wine press even to the horses' bridles by the space of 1,600 furlongs. You say, 10 furlongs to a mile, 160 miles long, this great valley down there, and the blood flows as deep as a horse's bridles. Now, something sort of interesting. If they are killed instantly, then the blood wouldn't have any place to flow. I mean, it wouldn't flow out of the body. You'd just fall over dead. Well, that's sort of interesting because that's been brought up before. And in order for the blood to flow, the veins got to be cut for the blood to get out of, don't they? I think they do. So that brings up a little bit of a problem. But anyway, we find out if we go over to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, and we'll notice in verse 12, and it may give you an idea. When God says the blood is going to flow as deep as a horse's bridles, they can fall down dead, or with a sharp sickle, that means some veins are going to get cut, I would say, to illustrate that. But Zechariah chapter 14, and we'll notice here in verse 12. Okay, Zechariah 14, 12. Do you recall in Nagasaki and over in Japan when we dropped the atomic bomb? Hiroshima or Hiroshima, however you want to pronounce it, and Nagasaki, that literally the impact of that bomb that was dropped, literally the, I should say, the flesh dropped off before they ever hit the ground. That happened. In like manner, God is just saying that death is so instantaneous and the blood vessels will pour the blood out. But it gives you an idea here, speaking of the same thing. Notice in verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all of the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. That's an amazing that God put that in there. Because when he speaks it, their flesh, they're gone. They're dead. But wouldn't it be just there? Because when he said the flow of blood is going to flow as deep as the horse's bridles in the valley of Jehoshaphat, then the veins have to be cut. However he's going to do it. But when he speaks, he doesn't have to have all of the body consumed like it did with the atomic bomb. I only use that just as a type of an illustration. All God has to do is speak it, and they are done. The flesh will fall off, the blood will run out there. At Armageddon, millions will die instantly as their flesh falls from their bodies, blood from their arteries and veins will be emptied completely for the earth to inherit. Just as God said. And this is what's coming. Thank God that you're a Christian and that Jesus Christ is your Savior, because if the rapture takes place today and you're not saved, you will go into the 7-year period of tribulation time. And you say, you know, when we sing God Bless America, and we've said, what does America have for God to bless? Really, not hardly anything. But there is one thing, though, that God does bless us with. And you know what that is? The privilege of living in a time when the rapture could take place tomorrow. That's a blessing, isn't it? Isn't it a blessing that we can still operate in America as we're beginning to see all of these things take place? And we can pray, even so, come Lord Jesus. Every day that we have to live in the last days that we're in right now is one day closer to Jesus Christ coming at the rapture. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, boom, we're gone. That is a blessing, isn't it? As far as blessing the nation to be like it was 30, 40 years ago, it will never be that. We're way too far down the tubes for that. Our leaders are, I mean, when you're talking about the Supreme Court saying, first-degree murder, kill your baby if you don't want it, you know, you bunch of misfits. Homosexuals running rapid in our country, lesbians all over the place, and then same-sex marriage, unheard of at all. You know, same-sex marriage, man marrying a man, women marrying women, unreal. So we know we're in the last days there. and there. But what a blessing it is that here we are, and we're looking up for Jesus Christ to come and enjoying every minute that we have left out here before America is gone. You take the Christians out, what few there is in America, and I'll tell you what, we're already with the Christians we have and the wimps that we have for preachers. I don't know. There's no way that would ever think about turning around. So much for that. Okay, our time is gone. Let me just say this in closing here, those watching. The billfold sin, I'm the sinner, and if you're watching, you don't know you're going to heaven when you die, then truthfully speaking, you're probably on your way to hell. Because if you were saved, you would know you're going to heaven, because the Lord wrote in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know." And that word in the Greek means absolutely, positively, without one question, without one doubt. If you believe the Bible, you know that heaven is your home because Jesus Christ made it possible. He paid for your sins so you don't have to go to hell and do it yourself. Max Schaus, this billfold represents sin. Don't go to hell and pay for your sin. I'm not. But I'm just using myself as an example here. The Lord said, Max Schaus, don't go to hell and pay for your sin. I did it 2,000 years ago. You know? Why would you try to pay for a house when it's already paid for and you got a clear title deed for it? Why in the world would you want to give money for it and pay the price for it? It's already been paid. It's bought. It's paid for. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So I'm telling you, they're there for you. You don't have to go to hell and pay for your sin, because I went to the hell of the cross to say and represent Christ, and I paid for your sin 2,000 years ago. All I ask you to do is believe that. Let's use some synonym words. Trust that. Rely upon that. No, I'm telling you the truth. It will come to pass. You'll be passed from death unto life. You will never have to worry about going to hell, because I took your sin and marked them completely paid, and your sin is paid for. And I gave you my righteousness. You are my child now. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you're watching, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, I will tell you honestly and truthfully, you're on your way right straight to hell, and you better pray that God keeps that heart beating so you can trust Jesus Christ and have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. For we are saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's just bow in a word of prayer with your head bowed and your eyes closed. You trust, if you haven't done it, Jesus Christ, it's your life, and nobody can do it for you but only you. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, dear Lord, if there's anybody that are watching there that has never trusted Jesus Christ, that's why these broadcasts are made, that's why the Bible teaching is such, and we pray that they will do that right now, because we don't know if we're going to live tomorrow or not. We thank you for that. Thank you for each one in our service today. Those that are traveling or not here, watch over them and just keep them safe. Thank you. Bless each one here in Jesus' precious name. Amen.